heard terms like low-hanging fruit
and are almost a self-perpetuating profession.
It's a constantly evolving range of business that they're pitching you on a constant basis.
A dark art or a force for good? The management consultancy industry.
They operate in the shadows because they don't want to take credit when they can pass the credit on to the client and make them look good.
Magic Consultants with me, Adam Shaw, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Starts next Tuesday morning at 9:30.
Now on Radio 4 with his house band Flo and Joan and this week's special guest, weekend-loving Zoe Lyons, for the last time in the series, Mark Watson talks a bit about life.
For the last time, 7, 8, 1.
Mark Watson talks. Finally we're here. It's the last episode. The suffering's almost over. Mark Watson talks a bit about life. Mostly his.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Mark Watson Talks a Bit About Life, the last of the current series. It's been a real privilege floating into your kitchen at 6:30 these past few Tuesdays, or if you're listening on Sounds, it's been interesting being in your bedroom these past few nights. Does he always do that, or are you sort of trying it out? I really appreciated the rousing welcome there, and I'd like you to please extend it to my guests tonight. Firstly, as always, I'm joined by our house band, sort of like a modern-day Laurel and Hardy, but with music and a lot less dicking about with ladders, Flo and Joan.
To be fair, the way we play the piano, it does sometimes sound like it's been dropped down a few flights of stairs, so that's fair enough.
And for the listeners at home, we are wearing jaunty bowler hats.
And Sunday's Child, as we take our final step through the week, yet another of my favourite comedians, Zoe Lyons. Zoe, we're covering Saturday and Sunday in this episode because they go nicely together thematically, and also we couldn't get a commission for 7 episodes. We've mentioned before in this series that a lot of people seem almost to live for weekends, even though they make up less than a third of our time on Earth. Are you one of those people? Are you like a sort of weekend fetishizing person?
Well, you know, it's like as a comic, weekends were our working week. I mean, we would sort of spend Monday to Friday in bed normally. Not together, obviously, like that'd be weird.
Different teams, aren't we?
Different teams, yeah, very much. I'm always playing away. And so weekends were just places of work, but now I've sort of flipped my work around, which is a sort of delicate way of saying I'm not getting as much jobs as I used to do. And so I have weekends now, occasionally, and I quite enjoy them.
Like a normal person?
Like a normal person. And I went to a garden centre last weekend.
Oh, what a boast.
I know.
Yes. That sounds really nice and cosy.
It was really lovely. It was so... I wanted some miniature cactus, because I know how to live. And I purchased a miniature cactus that looked very much like a part of a man's appendage. And
you've said you're on the other team, but you know your way around by the sound of this material.
Yeah, I can work my way around a cactus, but I do prefer a succulent.
Saturday's Child works hard for a living, the most Tory of the values in the nursery rhyme. Sunday's Child, on the other hand, is blithe and bonny, good and gay. A blagger, in other words.
It's just dawned on me why I've got this booking. I am neither blithe nor bonny, but clearly fill in the other category quite neatly.
You're ticking the good and gay boxes, These two opposing ideas sum up the decision we all have to make in life. Are we going to spend our days grafting? You see these glossy magazine articles about my work day. 5 a.m, get up, yoga, 6:30 for breakfast, look at a grape. 9 o'clock, talk to clients, count Bitcoin, drink shake, but one of those ones that are too green. 3:30 p.m, bedtime, think about the fact that I've not been invited to a party since 2008. Put on a meditation app, give a series of great heaving sobs, play Candy Crush secretly for 5 hours. But it's also annoying when you see profiles of these Sunday's children who talk about how they gave up the rat race to concentrate fully on being blithe and bonny, living off the simple things, reject capitalism and all its modern evils. And then when you do a little dig into the article, they admit it's quite handy that their dad works for Shell and has a 50-acre farmhouse in Umbria where they do their rejecting of capitalism. As a side note, I cannot read any more Guardian articles where someone says, I gave up my phone for a year and I've never felt better. Just once I'd like to see an honest one. I gave up my phone for a year and I've never felt more homeless. My flat burned down and I had to summon the fire brigade by sending them a letter. we be people who work hard for a living and yet remain blithe and bonny? It's a big question, but Flo and Joan are here for the big questions. Just before we started recording, they found me a very competitive tracker rate mortgage and explained why people continue to wear Crocs. I'm going to ask them now for a song to get us into that weekend mood.
Hell yeah. The weekend's here. Woo-hoo-hoo. Weekend's here. Oh-oh. Yeah. Let me hear it for the weekend. I work so hard in the week, so I deserve my weekend. I'm going to fill it with some crazy stuff. Going to pop some bottles. I go to a club. I dream about my plans a week. But when I get to the weekend, I'll probably cancel all of them and sit on a couch, sit on a couch. Just sit on a couch the whole weekend. Just sitting on a couch, 48 hours sitting on a couch. I get up once, then sit back on the couch. Monday comes around, my skin is pillows now. When I sneeze, feathers come out. Sitting on a couch. On the couch.
Who do we want to be? What do we want our legacies to be? It's a topic I've been considering throughout this very serious and important radio series. Thanks for not laughing at that. I've mentioned several times that my children have now got near unlimited access to Google. That's good news because they can move away from my miserable Wednesday's child mentality, but it's also often alarming because the range of Googleable things is obviously infinite. Imagine knowing for years that there is a device which can tell you anything in the world that you're curious about, but you aren't allowed to have it. And then one day you do get it. It's like that song lyric, if God had a name, what would it be? What would you ask if you had just one question? Who remembers that song? Yes, who recorded the song?
Joan Osborne.
Very good. I would put money on someone saying Alanis Morissette there. And in fact, that was what I was prepared for.
And I've just won a tenner.
You had absolutely no hesitation either. Do you remember the name of her follow-up single?
She's still touring, though.
Is she? Joan Osborne is still touring?
She's still touring.
How do you know all this?
Because I live outside of the internet.
Oh. Where the hell is that? You're not welcome in this room of nerds, madam. These internet rabbit holes are things we all wander down. My children recently went down a fairly significant one for me, and it made me think about my place in life. So I'm going to ask Flo and Joan for the last time this series to play the celebrated fun little anecdote jingle. Actually, because we've got Zoe here, could you be Flo and Joan, is that a thing?
Chloe, yeah. And Zoe and Joan.
Okay, well, as this is the
I've
last...
I've joined the band.
Yeah. We'll let you in for this one time.
Thank you.
We'll give you the joke of the song, and if it goes well, then you're in the band. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good. Okay. My career's on the slide. Okay. This is a second comeback.
Okay, here we go for the last time. Fun little anecdote, anecdote, anecdote. Fun little anecdote, anecdote. Fun little anecdote, Annika, Annika, Ramekin, Mannequin, Annika.
Annika!
Sorry, actually, Zoe, the final joke is actually... Batman.
That is unlucky, yeah.
You're in the band, Zoe.
Okay, thank you.
Release me from this witch.
Enjoy counting on your own.
That's the coldest thing one member of a musical duo can say to the other. The variety of my son's Google searches has been impressively broad. The thing with kids is that matters of life and death and completely trivial stuff all strike them as equally important. Once I was doing a Zoom meeting, which I'd already told the kids was important and couldn't be interrupted. About 20 minutes later, sure enough, there's the boy. Dad, Dad. I had to apologise to the meeting and say, sorry, it's kind of an emergency. Mute myself. Yes, I said, what do you need? You can judge for yourself whether it was truly an emergency. He said, Dad, I just wondered if you know what are the 10 most stupid crimes people have been arrested for. Felt like it could have waited. To be fair to my son, the number one most stupid crime was a cracker. I've verified it since. It's a real news story. It's a guy who got arrested for trying to hold up a bank, having paid a man to make him invisible. The man had successfully convinced him that he was a wizard. There are numerous elements of the story which boggle the mind. You can look it up. Firstly, what he paid the alleged wizard was $500, which seems like quite a modest price for a service never before offered in human history. I'm keen to be made invisible. Yeah, should be able to do that for, let's say, 500 plus VAT. Also, very surprisingly, didn't check the invisibility was working before going straight in with the heist. Sorry, mate, quick question. Can you see me? No, where are you? Great, just off to do some crimes. Anyway, one time during my occasional paternal spying sessions, I noticed that my children had Googled me, their old man. Difficult to blame them, really. I probably would have done similar searches if I'd had a smartphone in the 90s, once I'd satisfied my curiosity about the obvious things. You know, will there ever be a time when it's possible to escape the song Breakfast at Tiffany's? How many people a year marry their former French teachers? And so on. As it was, I didn't Google stuff. You'll remember it was much more difficult to do that on a landline. And in any case, as I've mentioned, looking up my dad wouldn't have yielded that much. He was a chemistry teacher. Not loads of his stuff made it onto YouTube. That's why magnesium reacts the way it does. Like and subscribe.
I think I can remember the first time somebody said Google it. And
really?
I didn't have a clue what it was.
Yeah, that's
like,
strange.
Like Google
think about
it
now.
Like that. What is that? Is that like Boggle? Is it like Scrabble?
I've mentioned this before, but I did an unsuccessful advertising campaign for Bing, one of Google's rivals. And it really brought home Google's monopoly on the market because you had to do interviews where you talked about the various capabilities of Bing and its different functions. And every time someone would say, OK, so when you use this website, just Google things. And and you'd have to say, and that is very much what we're up against here with...
We have our Google is attached to our work email, which means that if one of us Googles something, the other one can see what it was. Really difficult being in a double act. It's quite horrible and hard.
Oh, I enjoy every single day we spend together. Just kidding, Zoe, let's go to the art centre.
I mean, one of us should just use private mail, or both of us, actually.
I mostly do use incognito unless
not
it's...
enough.
Not enough.
It's all falling apart now, isn't it? The last episode, the wheels are coming off.
Perhaps lucky the series does end here, because... The first ever Google search conducted about me by my children was something I could not have anticipated. I don't even know where they got this idea or phrase. Four words, Mark Watson, net worth. As you can imagine, we're now in pocket money renegotiation sessions. What came up as an answer was £3 million. I had to put it to them, that is out by, about £3 million. But of course, people of that generation are programmed to believe that the internet knows more than you do, even about your own business. During this same fact-finding mission, the kids also tried Googling Mark Watson girlfriend. And if you do that, I tried it recently, it's quicker than these apps. If you do that search, it brings up various pictures of me with their mother, then my girlfriend or ex-wife, then a couple of pictures of me with other women, and then, for reasons which is not clear to me by any means, just a picture of Nicole Kidman. Not with me, I haven't met her. But my son had already run a sub-search on Kidman, not surprisingly, and he wouldn't accept it. He said, OK, but if you never met her, how did you even go out with her? I said, I didn't. I haven't been out with Nicole Kidman. The worst thing was he started saying, come on, you can tell me. Like he's a man of the world. Firstly, there is nothing to tell. Also, no, I can't, you're 11. There's a weird feeling I'm not doing myself down excessively here. I mentioned in the last series I was once voted among Britain's sexiest Jews, despite not considering myself a sex symbol or Jewish. But still, just from the general vibe I give off, I don't think it should be that difficult to convince someone I haven't slept with Nicole Kidman. That's not an argument I ever expected to have to win, really. Mate, you're going to have to sit down. I've also not been out with Winslet or Streep. I'd almost be quicker to list the Hollywood A-listers I have had long-term relationships with. I felt it was likely there'd be stuff from the Google searches that might confuse or worry them. My son said, no, nothing to worry about, but look what happens if you do this. And he typed into the search bar just the words, what is, and then my name, Mark Watson. You know in these situations, Google autofills based on what it thinks you're most likely to ask. Most of the suggested questions were what you'd expect. What time is Mark Watson's delightful Radio 4 show? What is Mark Watson's skincare regime and how can I emulate it? Genuinely, someone asked me, I recently was on a show and they had a proper stylist and a makeup person, and she said, you've got lovely skin, what is your regime? So I don't know, communism? But about the fifth search down, difficult to unsee this, as young people say, was, what is the point of Mark Watson? That's very...
That's harsh.
It is harsh, but there'll be people listening at home thinking it. And I don't know what happens if you click on it. I resisted the temptation to click on it because I don't want to know. What if it turns out the point is I was meant to be a Formula One driver or a forger? I don't even have a driving licence, and as you know, I'm left-handed, so I'd only be able to forge the signatures of other lefties, and only then if someone would give me a biro. Honestly, it'd be better off seeing if that wizard is still doing his stuff. You can see why it's lodged in my head. When you come down to it, what is the point of Mark Watson is behind pretty much every episode of this show and most of my existence, and especially relevant to this episode with the topic of work-life balance. How do you get the balance right? I'm going to bring Zoe in here because you had various experiences of the actual working world.
I worked in a jam packing factory in Glasgow for a while. That was probably my happiest job. Because we did... oh, God, I've just realised what I'm about to say. We did jam and fudge, and we did pack them both. Not even making that. All of the fudge made it into the boxes, and I used to eat quite a lot of fudge, so I had a happy time in that.
You could get away with that, could you?
Big pockets, Mark. That's what you need. When you're working on a production line, you need big pockets. That's what I worked out.
As Confucius used to say, yeah.
I had a van driving job during the pandemic.
During the pandemic? Yeah. Well, we didn't see each other for about a year, and then next time we did a gig together, you'd been a van driver for most of that
time. I was driving a white van. Yeah, it was a big... It was a long wheelbase. And I only realised that when I hit a tree. I went, oh, this is longer than I thought it was. I hit several trees, actually, in that van. Several trees and a milk cart. And there's large parts of West Sussex I can't go back to now because of the damage.
You've worked as well, haven't you, you guys? And you will again after the BAM splits up in half an hour's time.
I worked at McDonald's. That was my first job. The McFlurry machines. They put all the sprinkles in these little tubes and you sort of whip them around and they fall onto your ice cream. But I was too short to reach it, so I'd have to slip it backwards and forwards and they'd all fall in my hat.
You don't want to be old sprinkles hat, do you?
That was a very polite version of what they called it. That's my nickname now, is old sprinkles hat. And I don't wear a hat.
You might, of course, feel that none of us on the stage know much about the working world, given that we mess about for a living, and the typical Radio 4 studio audience is full of people from heavy industry. librarians, archivists, library archivists. So we asked tonight's crowd, what is the hardest you have worked for a living? And here are some responses, and genuinely, the first one, work in a library. So there you go. A couple of them bear a bit of question. We'll try and get a microphone to this person. I'm not sure whether it's a good idea to or not, though. As a police officer guarding a human turd at a crime scene. Were they able to find the suspect in the end? Did this work?
Well, the strange thing was that they couldn't get DNA from it anyway. So I don't know why the officer in charge decided it needed to be preserved. But on the plus side, I got a cancelled rest day because it went in from a night shift into a day shift. So I got 4 hours overtime guarding a piece of evidence that was useless.
I would say you probably deserved the rest day on that evidence, yeah.
The overtime wasn't time in a turn.
Don't clap that!
You sound like the most policeman-sounding person. You sound like everyone.
Did you already have that voice, or did they give it to you? You might as well say what's going on here and be done with it. What is the hardest you've worked for a living in as front of house in a kebab shop in Sunderland? The phrase front of house is working hard there, I think.
Sommelier?
Yeah, maitre d'. Yeah. I used to have to empty the fat from under the donor, like, into the bin that people would buy.
Donna dipping.
Oh,
yeah, she went to my school.
That slightly brutal Google search of my name did, as I say, put into perspective what I have or haven't done with the 43 years that I've been fortunate enough to spend on this planet. It's easy to get delusions about your status in society as a comedian, especially in perfect moments like this, when I have the attention of literally the entire population of the UK. As you travel round as a comedian, there are frequent reminders that you are less than essential. In this time of devastating strikes all over the place, it seems unlikely comedians could create the same impact by downing tools. Mind, you don't necessarily have to be part of the backbone of infrastructure to go on strike. Not long ago, outside UCL in London, I came across a picket line of art historians. And no disrespect at all, I wish I knew any subject well enough that people would get themselves into debt to hear me talk about it, but I did wonder how strong their bargaining position was, right? Pay us more money, or next time you see a sculpture, you'll have no idea how old it is. See how well the city runs after that. Pieces of art needed to be dated, just piling up on street corners with the bin bag. Quite often I present corporate awards events, not to bang on too much about my achievements, but you're looking at maybe the only person to have hosted both the National Waste Management Awards and the British Turkey Awards. At these events, they're not necessarily comedy fans, and you quite often get approached by someone who vaguely recognises you but can't think how. The strangest interaction I've had like that was in the Northwest. A woman started quite aggressively asking, "Hey, who are you? Where have I seen you? Where have I seen you?" And it was difficult for me to be sure because, crucially, I had not lived her life for her. She, I did not have access to all of her memories. I introduced myself, I named a few shows where she might have come across me, and then I explained I had to go and begin the event. She gripped my wrist hard enough to break it. I very easily done, my wrist had like twiglets. And she said, "Stay there, I'm trying to work out if I'm excited to meet you." What are you meant to say to that? Right, well, here's my number, just text me when you've decided, I suppose.
Twice this week, two individuals have said to me, "Oh, I used to love watching you on telly when I was a kid." That was hard. They're both dead now. Remember once being accosted in a Tesco? Other supermarkets are available, but they're not so close to my house, so it's mostly Tesco that I'm in. It's their fault, not mine. And I was having one of those days anyway. You know when you have those days, Mark?
Oh, yeah,
you go,
those
what's
days.
It all about? Why am I doing it? What is Mark Watson?
I can, yeah. I think it occurs to everyone, not just me, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably Googled myself that day and nothing much exciting had come up. I did recently find myself on a foot fetish site, but that's a different show. Anyway,
the site where they rate the feet
of
famous...
Yeah, I'm only a 3 out of 5.
What?
I know, I should have shaved them. Anyway, it's... You live and learn. It's winter, they get cold. What are you going to do? Protect them like little hamsters now? That's what they are.
Just now and again, the opposite happens. When I tweeted that we were making this series, someone DM'd me to say they'd been quite seriously ill during lockdown and they'd re-listened to old series of this show. And do you know what they said about their symptoms after this Mark Watson binge? Of course, exactly the same. Obviously, if you're suffering medically, please do not self-medicate with Radio 4 comedy. But they did add, it helped me to get through a difficult time and to be able to work hard at something I enjoy, something that makes me feel blithe and gay, relatively gay, not on the grand scheme of things.
Not Zoe Lyons gay.
Not Zoe Lyons gay. To be able to do that and also make a very occasional contribution to someone else, well, if that is the point of Mark Watson, there are worse things than to do that. Say thank you, go home to my children and my beautiful Nicole. it's been fun, isn't it, Zoe?
It's been lovely. Thanks for having me.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And thank you all for, well, being here tonight, but also thank you to everyone listening to this series, unless the entire thing has been a supremely well-constructed prank. You don't know. You don't know until it goes out. I'd respect it. And to see us out for the final time, I hand you over to the soon-to-be-no-more double act.
Flo and Joan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We whipped this one up quite quickly, so I think it'll be OK.
Can something tell me why I'm here and who I'm meant to be? Some order in this chaotic world of wet and warm and sea. I'd like an explanation for why I am this me. So I have something to blame for my bad choices and my terrible personality. I need something to tell me why I am the way I am. Can I blame my lack of emotion on being born in the year of the ram? Am I this hilarious 'cause I'm a Sagittarius? Or is it because I experienced too much trauma as a child? Maybe the answer lies in the middle of a fortune cookie. I ordered in Chinese food, thought I might as well take a looky. I cracked one open, it said the world deserves your smile, which makes no sense, for I am a Wednesday's child. I'd love to understand myself, or even start to. I feel like I'm on the Masked Singer, with everyone screaming, who are you? I thought I'd try a Christmas cracker fortune fish instead, but when I put it on my palm, it didn't move, which means that I am dead. Can something tell me why I'm here and who I'm meant to be? If I forward this email to 50 people, will my luck change finally? And if Mark Watson's net worth is really £3 million, then why, oh why, do his clothes say otherwise? If I was born on a summer night, would I be a better dancer? When I cancel plans, can I blame it on being a flaky little cancer? I wish I was born on Tuesday, maybe then I'd be less clumsy or feel less anxious if my mum crossed her legs till Sunday. Is my purpose hiding in the day that I was born? Did Ask Jeeves have the answer all along? Can something tell me why I'm here? I don't know, I can face the fear I'm born into nothing in this fast and busy place. If anyone has the answer, please someone let us know. Until then, we'll just keep writing songs on a millionaire's radio show.
That's almost the whole series in one song, so you don't need to worry about catching up. That was Flo and Joan. You've been listening to Zoe Lyons as well. Zoe O'Brien. I am multi-millionaire comedian Mark Watson. This has been a whole series of Mark Watson Talks A Bit About Life. Thank you for joining us and see you again.
Mark Watson Talks A Bit About Life was written and performed by Mark Watson, Flo and Joan, and special guest Zoe Lyons. It was produced by Leanne Coop.
And it was an Impatient production for BBC Radio 4. Bye.
A very engaged and lively audience there, which I'm sure Mark Watson was very glad of. But there have been some reports recently of live audiences behaving badly. So is theatre etiquette not what it used to be? Tom Sutcliffe will be discussing that with his guests on Front Row at 7:15 after The Archers next.
On BBC Radio 4, how well would you do without sight?
Susie, who's this laughing?
That's Adele.
It is Adele, well done!
Well, let's find out how comedians cope when we force them to live in an audio-only world.
Well, that one is either a 20-year-old woman or a 5-year-old boy.
If that's a 5-year-old boy, he smokes.
Is this a pound or £2?
That is a pound.
It's a £2!
Damn it!
You heard it here first with me, Chris McCausland.
And I can tell you that you are...